Well, good morning, Folsom. As always, it's excellent to be here with you today. It's exciting to be gathered together with so many Christians, people from all different backgrounds, come together and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm excited to talk about God's Word with you here this morning for just a few minutes. Thank you to Brother Scott for the songs that he selected. They are going to tie in perfectly with what I have to talk about with you this morning. Thank you to him. Thank you to Brian for his comments as well this morning during the announcements, talking about our daily Bible reading and reading the excerpt from The View. That's also going to tie in with the things that I have to say as well. I appreciate those things. Coffee has become such an important part of our society. It seems like everywhere you go, you run into a Starbucks or a Pete's Coffee or some hipster coffee shop with a fancy name of some sort. A Thousand Beans or some weird thing, Kingdom Coffee, I have no idea. The list goes on and on. And there are so many different ways to even make coffee at home now. I have a Keurig, you know, you press one button and you put the pot in. That's as complicated as I get when it comes to coffee. But I know several people within this congregation alone that have multiple coffee appliances. I'm not knocking you for it. I understand it. I get that you have to have your Nespresso machine, you have to have your French press, you have to have your large coffee pot for when you're entertaining guests. We all need all these different coffee apparatuses and appliances and so on and so forth because it's become such a big part of our morning routines. It's become ingrained into our society, but it didn't always used to be that way. You know, we weren't always so obsessed with coffee. In fact, in the 1990s, I can remember, you had Folgers, and that was it. It was the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. And that was pretty much it. Maybe Maxwell House, I think that was another brand name. But you had one coffee pot or at least we did in our house. You had one coffee pot where you brewed one pot of coffee for the whole family. My dad had his one cup a day, and it was always Folgers or I guess Maxwell House if you wanted to be wrong. But the best part of waking up was Folgers in our cup. You know, that's no longer the case anymore. Now we have all these other complicated caramel macchiato latte. You can get anything you want, and it's not really coffee anymore even. It's more like a milkshake with a little bit of caffeine in it. So coffee is everything to us at this point. But my favorite verse to pull out of context at this point in my preaching career is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. I like to use and abuse that because as Paul's building up to his 13th chapter about love and his masterpiece of explaining what love means to us, he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. I want to show you a still more excellent way. And I'm here to say to you this morning that there's something better than coffee for you in the morning. Maybe. I'll let you decide for yourselves. I'm not sure yet. Okay, so the title of my sermon today is 15 Minutes. Just 15 simple minutes every morning. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23, I enjoy this verse quite a bit, mostly because Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is lamenting, and he's sorrowful, and he's deeply saddened, and he's upset, and all these things, and yet he finds time in verses 22 and 23 to say something positive. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. In fact, they're brand new every morning. They are renewed, they're refreshed every single morning. When you arise, his mercy comes back. Great is thy faithfulness. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. A more poignant passage because of the subject matter in Lamentations itself. And so I want to build a case for you this morning that within 15 minutes each day, starting your day out with 15 minutes of enjoying the Lord, appreciating his mercies that are new every day, you're going to find something life-changing. It's going to get you excited and ready for the day, more so than even coffee will. And you say, well, why do you think we should do this? What's the point of this? I already talk to God on a daily basis. I pray, I read my Bible on a daily basis. I make time for God. And so turn with me, if you will, get out your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 35 through 39 for just a moment here. And we'll see what's happening with Jesus and his disciples in this situation. And in fact, I'm going to begin reading in verse 32. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this morning. So in Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39, beginning in verse 32, it reads, "That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." And here we see that Jesus, being about his Father's business, going from town to town, serving people, ministering to them, teaching them, he takes time out of his schedule to rise very early in the morning and separate himself and walk away from everyone else, all that have come to be healed and to see him and talk to him, and even his disciples themselves. And he walks away and he speaks to his Father for a few minutes. Until Simon Peter comes upon him and finds him and says, "Hey, you've got to get back. Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus says, "Okay, I can go on and preach at the next town now because they need me there." And so he continues his ministry. But you notice that he takes time out very early in the morning to go and speak with his Heavenly Father, with his actual Father, our Heavenly Father. And that's a powerful message for us, because, you know, when I was younger, and even not that long ago, I used to think that you know, the Christian is ever vigilant. That as a Christian, I'm supposed to constantly be working for God, doing everything that I can possibly do to bring the gospel message to those that don't have it, to make a good impression on people. Work, work, work. It's all about work. And so this is powerful for me to see that Jesus takes a little bit of time and isolates himself and walks away from everyone else and says, "You know, I'm gonna do this for me, and I'm going to have a conversation with my dad." And I can appreciate that. I think that's something that we can do for ourselves as well, especially if we're going to imitate Jesus Christ to the best of our abilities. And so we have to ask ourselves, what kinds of things do we need to be doing if we're going to master our mornings, if we're going to implement this into our lives and take 15 minutes out of our day in the morning before our day gets going? What kinds of things are we going to do with this 15 minutes? And I would like to suggest these four things to you. And the first one is to meditate. And if you remember from my last sermon that I preached on Psalms 1, that the Hebrew word meditate, haggah, is a word that means to savor and slowly digest and enjoy and appreciate. And so we're going to take this 15 minutes to take something in from God that he's given to us, namely his word, and we're going to take some time to meditate on it, chew it up, digest it, savor, enjoy it, appreciate what it is that he's telling us. We're going to allow it to calibrate us, much like you would calibrate the settings on your iPhone or calibrate the temperature at home on the thermostat. You're going to make some adjustments. You're going to allow it to focus you and hone in on some things. You're going to take the things that God is saying to you through his word, and you're going to allow it to make some adjustments on your life for that particular morning. You're going to allow it to invigorate you or energize you and strengthen you and build you up and prepare you to meet the challenges of the day, get you excited about what's going on for that day. And then you're going to use it to consecrate this particular day and set it aside and make it holy and dedicate that to God. And as well as Jesus Christ. And not only that, but dedicate your life to serving him, to being a better Christian, to taking some sort of small step forward in your day. And, well, you might say to me at this point, "Well, that's all good, good for you, Zach. You know, you're a single guy. You've got time on your hands. Your job is to literally study the Bible. at this point. And, you know, I don't have a lot of time. I'm not someone, I've got kids that I've got to get, make sure they get to school, or I'm in school myself. I'm working full time. I've got bills to pay and mouths to feed and so many different things going on with my morning. It's just not possible. I don't have 15 minutes to spare. And I would submit to you that if you're thinking to yourself this morning, I really can't fit an extra 15 minutes into my morning, that's not something that God wants to sit here and listen to you say, even if it's to yourself this morning. That's not something that He would like to hear from you, even if it's just in your thoughts. And we have an example in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 21 with the apostles. I want us to take a look this morning and see how the apostles react in this situation where they're busy with some things. They find themselves incredibly busy and probably tired and worn out, but they take God's commandment seriously and they listen to Him. In Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, I love to hear those pages turning. You know, that it's nice to have all the devices and just flip to whatever verse you want to go to, but hearing pages turning for a preacher is almost like hearing an amen. I love to hear that. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, and it reads in verse 17, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him," that is the party of the Sadducees, "and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go out and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach." And so we see here that the high priest rose up with his Sadducee friends and he said, "We're going to arrest the apostles. We're going to put them in a public prison." And God said, "Well, you know what? I've got something that can handle that. Here's my angel I'm going to send to you. In the middle of the night, we're going to get you guys out of prison. But guess what? I know you're tired. You probably haven't slept well. You probably need a shower and a hot meal. But I need you to go to the temple. And I need you to speak the words of life to the people that are there at daybreak, no less." And so the disciples, probably without coffee, went to the temple and did what God had to say. And they didn't complain. They didn't say, "I don't have time for this. I've got other things that I need to be doing. I've got iPhone updates to check or Twitter feeds to follow. Or, you know, I could really use a fresh set of clothes and a fresh perspective before I just get myself ready to go before I go and do the things that I need to do for you, God." And you see, they don't say that at all. What they do is exactly what God asked them to do. They go to the temple at daybreak and begin to teach the word. And so I think if the apostles can do that, I think we can spend 15 minutes every morning and just kind of shove it in there, you know. No matter how busy you are, just kind of push things aside and allow for 15 minutes to dedicate to God and drawing closer to Him, drawing near to Him. And so we're going to flip through some Psalms here. I'm kind of all over the place a little bit this morning and have several scriptures that I want to look at with you. But some sunrise Psalms, and I thought about using the term, using the phrase Psalms of Morning, but I realized that might give you the wrong impression that there's no you. Psalms in the morning, not necessarily Psalms of lament or sorrow or mourning or sadness, a thing, although there are those out there. Some sunrise Psalms, some things that we can look at and use to apply to our 15 minutes that we're going to be giving God in the morning. And feel free to turn along with me to Psalms chapter 143, verse 8, and read for yourself. But I do have it up on the screen for you as well. So I guess you aren't obligated to if you don't want to. But in Psalms chapter 143 and verse 8, it's a Psalm of David. And he says, "Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." And so David is talking about having a conversation with God in the morning. "God, tell me about your steadfast love in the morning." And obviously we can do that through prayer, but More importantly, if we want to hear what God's message is for us, we look to His Word. We look to the Scriptures. And so I would say that, David is making a suggestion here and saying that I have a conversation with God every morning, and He tells me about the love that He has for me. And so I submit that we should do the same for ourselves when looking at the Scriptures. Find something loving, something about love, and the love that God expresses for us, that Jesus Christ expresses for us in the Scriptures every morning, and point to that and say, tell me about your love, God. Let me hear about the love that you have for me, and help it to lift up my soul and energize me and make me ready for the day. And then we're going all the way back close to the beginning in Psalms chapter 5, in verses 1 through 3. It's another Psalm of David. And in this psalm, he says, Psalms chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, he says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you, and I watch. And so there's a couple different things that we can take away from this particular psalm right here. In the ESV, you'll notice that the last stanza is, the last phrase is, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Now, a more literal translation of that phrase is, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. And the word for watch there is to lean forward and peer into the distance with expectation and watch eagerly. So, God, I'm going to say some things to you, and then I'm going to not sit back, but I'm going to lean forward and see what happens and see what your reaction is to the things I have to say. And it sounds to me in this passage that David is talking about some things that are on his mind, some troubles and some worries and difficulties. He's making supplication to God here, it seems like, with his groaning and concern and crying. But I would submit that we save that for some other time. That with our morning time, we rather follow the advice of Paul in 1 Thessalonians verses 16 through 18 when he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. And so I would say with our morning devotion time to God that we should rejoice and give thanks for the things that God has blessed us with. If He only gave us Jesus Christ, His Son, if that was the only thing God had ever done for us, it would be enough. And so I would say that we stop right there. But God gives us so many things. He blesses us so richly. He lavishes grace upon us, as David likes to say from time to time. And so we need to be aware of that. And the best way to be aware of that is to thank God on a daily basis and say, thank you for the things that I have, that you've given me. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the physical blessings. Thank you for the spiritual blessings that I have received directly from you, God. And you're going to see that transform your thinking, I think. I believe, personally. I don't necessarily have statistical data to back me up here, but if you spend your time thinking about the things you can thank God for and saying, you know what, God, you gave me this, thank you, that's going to have an effect over time on your attitude about going about your day. You're going to be able to see more clearly the things that you have that are positives in your life, and you're not going to focus so much on the negatives, because you have practiced and you made a habit of being thankful. And so it's a very good thing for us in our prayer in the mornings to be thankful to God and express that thanks to Him through our prayer. And the third psalm that I want to talk about this morning is Psalms chapter 59, and I want to look at verses 16 through 17. And this is not a psalm of David, it's a miktam of David. And I love the word miktam because there are six miktams of David that exist in the Psalms. Psalm 16 and then Psalms 56 through 60. And it's not only is it a fun word to say, miktam, but it's also interesting because no one really knows what it means. It's a thing that exists. We have six mikdams of David, but scholars don't even take a stab at it. Sometimes they'll throw out speculation, or they'll throw out different things that, as to what their opinion is about a certain word or a certain scripture in the Bible, and mikdam, they're just like, I've got nothing. So that's interesting to me. But in this mikdam of David in verses 16 and 17 of Psalms chapter 59, we see David say this: "But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love." And we see David return to this theme of steadfast love. And it's something that he points out time after time in the Psalms. And I really want to hone in on, I want to focus on the second phrase that he utters: "I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning." And that tells me two things. Not only is David going to sing in talking to God, he's going to rejoice in songs of praise to God, and he's going to sing of his steadfast love, which we've already talked about a little bit, but he's going to do it aloud and not to himself. And he's going to make sure other people hear him singing about God. And so he's willing to step out of his comfort zone maybe a little bit and let other people know that he's willing to praise God and talk about God's steadfast love through song. And so I think that it's a powerful thing for us to sing to God in the morning. It's going to have, singing has physical health benefits. There's been studies that show that if you sing in the shower, in the car, to your dog, whatever, that there are physical benefits that manifest themselves from you singing and opening up your lungs and exercising your vocal cords in that way. But there are also plenty of spiritual benefits as well. And namely, that you're letting other people know that you care about God, that you appreciate His love, and that you're willing to praise Him for it. And maybe it sounds kind of silly to sing hymns in the morning, or sing spiritual songs in the morning, or sing praises to God in the morning, but I don't think God will think it's silly. And so we have 15 minutes every single morning that we can dedicate to God, that we can give to God and say, God, I'm devoting this time to just me and you. It's me and you for 15 minutes, God. And we're going to do that because we want to imitate Jesus, because we saw him do it time and time again throughout the Gospels. Jesus goes off by himself to be with his Father and take a little break from being constantly mobbed with requests and people looking to speak with him or be healed by him. The fact is that you're not too tired and you're not too busy. You have to prioritize. You have to manage your time in the morning. Just wake up 15 minutes earlier if you have to. Whatever it's going to take for you to squeeze this time for God into your busy schedule, I get it. We have busy lives. As a nation, as a people, we've never been busier. And I'm only speaking in 31 years of experience here, but in my lifetime, I've never been busier at this point in my life. And yet, we have to find time to fit this in. And we're not going to eat, pray, love. We're going to read, pray, sing. And we're going to meditate on God's word. We're going to talk to God and tell him what we learned. And we're going to sing and express those lessons, express our praises joyfully to him. And it will eventually, if it doesn't start out, maybe it's hard for you to wake up in the mornings, you're not a morning person, you need six cups of coffee before you can talk to anyone or get your day going. But eventually, if you dedicate yourself to making this change, to overcoming the obstacles that are keeping you away from doing this, that are stopping you from doing this, it's going to become the best part of your morning. And you're going to get excited to talk to God and spend a little bit of time with God each morning and be able to dedicate that time to him. It's going to start your day off the right way. It's going to get you excited for life. And so I want to create this hashtag, 15 morning minutes, and I have the three of my social media tags up here, and that's not because I'm trying to promote myself on social media per se, but I'm saying I want to see this happen. I want to see some people take an active interest in this, and social media is one of those ways to do it. There's a lot of bad things on social media, right? And we see a lot of negative posts. On Facebook, we see politics everywhere. On Twitter, we see politics everywhere. On Instagram, we see way too many selfies. We see all these things that are negative mostly, and yet we have this technology at our disposal. And we should take advantage of that technology. Now, some of you have grown to have a stronger appreciation of technology in the last few days because the beautiful people at PG&E have decided that you don't need electricity for the last few days. And thankfully, I've not been subject to that, and I've enjoyed hot water and lights everywhere. But some of you have certainly been able to gain a deeper appreciation for the technology we have at our disposal today. And I think that we can appreciate some aspects of social media. And we can use it as an opportunity to let our light shine a little bit brighter. You know, we're not just using candles anymore. We have floodlights, we have spotlights, we have high-intensity beams. And so, yeah, if we talk to one person, then, you know, maybe we're lighting a candle, or maybe we're flipping a switch and turning on one light. But what if we post something on social media and say, "Hey, this is what I'm doing with my week. I'm reading God's word. I'm praying to God. I'm singing a praise to Him this morning." Maybe you're flipping on a whole house of lights. Maybe you're flipping on a warehouse full of lights. Maybe you're turning on all the lights in the world. Who knows? Social media has that power. It's a tool that we can use effectively to spread the gospel message throughout the world. And if we don't take advantage of that as Christians, and I'm not saying use it for self-promotion. I'm not saying use it to say, "Hey, look at me. I'm doing something better than you. You know, I'm a Pharisee. I'm better than this guy over here. I'm better than you and you and you." But to say, "This is what I'm doing with my time for God." And maybe it'll spark some hope, spark some light in some other people, and give them the power to start thinking about God, meditating on God, and make them want to be a part of this. I'm not saying it'll work, but it's worth a shot. And so I want to, as we come to a close this morning, I want to leave you with this poem, and it's a poem that I found called "The Difference," and the author is unknown. No one knows who wrote this, but I feel it has a powerful message that's applicable to the things I've talked about with you this morning. It reads, "I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just bumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me?" I wondered. He answered, "You did not ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled gray and bleak. I wonder why God didn't show me. He said, 'But you didn't seek.' I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys in the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, 'My child, you did not knock.' I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray." And I find that the last few lines of the poem especially applicable, especially prevalent, when it says, "I had so much to accomplish, I had to take time to pray." We're busy, we're stressed, we lead difficult lives, a lot of us. And because of that, we need to talk to God. We need to strengthen and build our relationship with God more than ever. The more burdens we bear, the more things that affect our lives and come into our lives to distract us and pull us away from God, the more we need to cling to Him and draw near to Him. In James chapter 4, in verse 8, he tells us, "Draw near to God and He's going to draw near to you." And then that's when God's going to start removing those burdens from your life. He's going to start helping you. You're going to feel lighter. You're going to feel energized. You're going to feel better. With these things in mind, I'd like to invite you to pray with me momentarily. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this glorious day you've given us, this wonderful time that we can all be together here. Father, as we lift our voices in praise to you, as we meditate on the things you have to say to us in your word, as we speak to you now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would infect our hearts and minds, that you would come into our hearts and into our minds, and you would affect change within us, that we would dedicate our lives to serving you, that we would devote 15 minutes every morning to drawing closer to you, Heavenly Father. It's these things we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen. By way of invitation this morning, I want to talk to you about two things I enjoy quite a bit. And those are baseball, especially playoff baseball right now, since the Cardinals are in the NLCS, albeit down by 2 games, 0-2 right now, unfortunately. And I want to talk to you about Snickers candy bars, which are the best candy bars. And so when I was growing up, my dad worked long days. And he would leave by 6 in the morning, and he would get back around 6 at night, and then he'd spend about an hour up in his office doing various things, paperwork or working on his equipment or what have you. But most evenings, as long as I didn't have too much homework, he'd make some time to have a catch with me. And I was a pitcher for most of my baseball career, and so we would usually throw somewhere to around 80 to 100 pitches each evening that I was available and he was available. And he'd always make this bet with me, or he'd make this promise to me, I suppose, and he'd say, you know, in these 80 to 100 pitches, if you can throw 5 wild pitches or fewer, if you can throw only 5 or less that I have to go chase, then I'll give you a Snickers bar. I said, that's a great deal. I'll take that. And then I would proceed almost every time without fail to throw more than 5 wild pitches. And he would set up different locations and call for different pitches, and I'd have to throw them. And then when I failed, I'd be upset with myself and beat myself up about it. But I'd always throw more than 5 wild pitches. And you know what? I almost always got a Snickers bar at the end anyway. And that's because I think that while he gave me a task and he set me to be about something, be doing something, or set a goal for me to accomplish, and I most often failed to meet that goal, he saw that I cared and that I had a good attitude and I was trying hard. I was trying my best to meet his expectations. 5 wild pitches or fewer. And I think that says something to me about grace and the grace that God has for us. And God set an impossible standard before us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, obey him, imitate him. And we look up at God and say, all right, I'm going to give him my best, God. And every time we fall short. But you know what? God looks down on us and he says, that's okay. I see you're doing your best. I see you're giving 100% that you care about this and that you're trying hard. And so God gives us a Snickers bar. And he gives us the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. His only perfect Son came and died for us. And if that's not a reason to give God 15 minutes every morning, then I don't know what is. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 beginning at the end of chapter 5 and verse 21 and then ending in chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul says this: for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For God says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is that favorable time. Behold, now is that day of salvation. And so Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah here in something that God had to say, and he's talking about grace. And he's saying, don't empty the grace of God. Don't steal it of its power. Don't take that away from it. Don't overextend grace, but also don't cheapen it. Instead, treat it rightly, because in a favorable time and in the day of salvation, I'm going to offer you a way out, a back door. And he did that for us. And we wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the offer to you this morning is a simple one. It's reach out and grab the grace of God. He's extended it to us all. It's you accept it by putting Christ on in baptism. You accept it by repenting from your sins, by turning away from those, and then confessing that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, I'd like you to come forward now as together we stand and sing.